Welcome to BSS Carolina's live on Periscope, Spreaker, and of course we'll put on Stitcher. But welcome to the show today. Of course, I'm Rocky. Joining me is Easy.
How y'all doing?
Planted the grapes.
Planted the grapes.
Oh, Lord. You know,
don't worry about it.
All right, no, I ain't.
A little after your time.
You're a wine fan. Yeah. You want to stomp on some grapes and make some wine.
Maybe it's a little after both of y'all time then.
Well, it's past 5 o'clock. Somewhere. Oh, it is 5:30. Happy hour already started.
Well, here we go.
All right. Well, that's what I thought. And then, of course, we got Big Shot in the corner.
Hey, hi.
Just
how
all
you
nice.
Doing? I just left my other gig. I wear a few masks.
Your other gig? What you? You a bank teller? Or insurance salesman?
They won't let me work in a bank.
Insurance salesman.
Insurance.
I can sell you a little insurance.
Discount double check, man.
Right.
Well, welcome to the show today. We're going to do a 45-minute live show today.
What should we call this? Like the power shot?
We're going to do hot sauce review.
Okay.
I don't know.
The power hour, yeah.
We can do the 45-minute power hour.
45-minute power
the
hour.
The 45-minute hour.
The 45-minute power hour that's so strong, it's only 45 minutes.
That's right. But, yeah, follow us on, you know, Twitter, BSS Carolinas, and go to Periscope and watch us. As we're doing a show, of course, tomorrow we'll do a show at 11 o'clock, so 11 until about 1:30, so follow us tomorrow also.
And don't forget, guys, watching us on Periscope, make sure y'all are checking us out on WSURmusic.com. It's one of the new platforms we are on, and we also got music, everything else on there, and you can check the YouTube channel, which we put on Hot Sauce there.
Exactly. Good point. I'm glad you're looking out. But today, what we're going to do, what we do on this 45-minute show is we talk about the big topics. So tomorrow, we get more in-depth in the week going ahead. We preview a little bit more tomorrow. But this week, today's show, we're going to just talk about what's going on this past weekend, everything else. There's some big stuff I want to talk about. The first thing I was going to talk about, Coach K is stepping down as the coach of U.S. team after the 2016 Olympics.
I mean, three Olympics, 12 years, it's time. And they already announced Coach Greg Popovich as his replacement, which he's been the assistant for a few Olympic teams. So it's going to be a smooth, easy transition.
You would assume so.
Oh,
I mean,
Coach Popovich has everybody's respect. And they wanted an NBA coach to take over after Coach K left anyway.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got NBA players.
Exactly.
You might as well have an NBA coach.
And why not get the best NBA coach? That's still going right now.
I mean, if you're going to do it, you know.
Yeah. Do it right.
Might as well go all
well,
out.
Well, how much longer before he steps down from Duke?
I don't know.
That'd be the next one.
I think they're going to have to.
They're going to have to pry him off that
court. Yeah, it's going to be.
He still has the passion for the Duke University program. You know, the Olympic thing, he's done it. It's cool. He's won some gold medals. That's fine.
But that was his side gig.
Yeah.
You know, his
that was his side piece?
That was his side piece.
He can't leave wifey alone. You know what I mean? He's still hungry. He still wants more national championships. I think he wants to get as close to Wooden as possible. Will he get 11 rings?
He's got, what, five now,
he's
right?
got five. Wooden won like 11, right?
He's got 11. He ain't getting 11.
He wants to get as close to that number as possible,
ain't getting to 11.
I actually think Duke's going to have at the bare minimum, two bad seasons, you know, and I'm talking bad, like not making the tournament bad for him to be anywhere near right
and
now.
And if you're looking at their recruits for the next 5 years, that ain't happening.
You see, I disagree. I think that he retires when he's on top. So maybe one more championship and maybe he steps away.
Six rings. Like
you know, I think maybe, you know, I think he tries to win six, like you just said, because he knows. 11, do you know how hard 11 is going to be?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because look, in the game of college basketball, when's the last time they repeated?
Florida, 0607.
Yeah, 0607.
Noah Al Horford squad.
I mean, it's impossible to repeat in today's game. It's really hard to do it.
It's a lot of parity in college basketball because they're one and run players.
Right.
One and done players.
And, you know,
one and run works too. You know?
I mean, look at not Division II, but the smaller conferences now are so even with the major conferences.
Because they have those 4-year players that grow in that program. That's why they compete better.
What I want to know is, people watching this on Periscope, what do y'all think? Send us in a message. Let us know what y'all think on whether or not y'all think he's going to be around for, you know, a couple more years. Or y'all think he's, you know, going to be done pretty soon. So.
As a Duke fan, I don't want to see Coach K leave ever.
As a UNC fan, I want to see him leave now.
As the NC State fan, I really don't care. I mean, really, it doesn't help my program one way or the other.
Sure it does.
So, no.
You know,
no.
If he leaves Duke... Maybe some more recruits
will start coming.
Yeah, we're not. Be realistic, they're not. We're not winning a national title in the next 10 years, 20 years. Now, we might make it to Elite
Eight. Damn, you saying 20? Good Lord. Like, you talking about kids who ain't even born
yet. Dude, I'm just being honest with you. Do you know the last time we won a championship?
83.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm just saying. You know, Lil LeBron James could be like, yo, I'm going to go to NC State.
Yeah, okay. Hey, all right. Let's go to NC State over, over Duke or Carolina.
Over what? Akron Community College? Like, come on, man.
If LeBron James Jr. does decide to go to college, I'm sure he'll stay around.
Well, he's going to have to go to college.
For one.
Well, if
they might change the rule by the time he's...
You think they're going to change it again?
Oh, yeah. We'll let 18-year-olds back in.
And he may want to go to... Ohio State, because it's his dad.
That's his dad's team,
you know. He might go to Duke. If Coach K is there, he might go play Coach K.
Absolutely.
He might go to UNC because he don't want to do schoolwork. You never know. I mean, he might go to Louisville because he likes the way they recruit.
He might go play football at Miami University.
He might go play football.
At Miami Hurricanes.
Very true.
Yeah, doubt it.
Very true.
They might not have a team or a coach by then. we'll talk about that a little bit. But first, the Royals beat the Mets 5-4 in 14 innings last night in Game 1 of the World Series. Alex Gordon hits a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth. He is one of five players to ever do that. Some other news, Falquez, who started for the Royals, learned after the game his father passed away. His wife and manager knew about it before the game and did not tell him. First, were they right about not telling him? And does ESPN or any other news source have the right to tell the story before he knows?
Well, the family asked Ned Yost not to tell Volquez. They wanted him to focus on pitching, get through the game, and then they wanted to tell him. But other sources said he knew coming to the stadium that day that his father had passed, and he was just dealing with it. It's a lot of different stories out there. Again, Ned Yost and everybody, the family was saying, hey, just wait until after the game. So I feel like the Royals were in the right, respecting the family's wishes.
So you say okay.
I definitely say yeah. I think that, you know, by all means, let him concentrate on his job, because now we don't know his father, but we're assuming that his father was supportive of his career. And you got to think about what the person who passed away would want. Would he have want his son worrying about him instead of going out and winning game one of the World Series?
Right.
And with the other question, with does a sports outlet or a media outlet have the right? Unfortunately, they do. It's their job, and it's not really it's not their responsibility to call that specific player and be like, "Hey, you know this information? Do you mind if we release it?"
Because my understanding, Jamil Hill actually reported it, right?
I thought it was Fox News.
Or it was Fox News.
Fox News.
Okay, and the boys, they were in the booth and they were just talking about it. But
I understand. First of all, you know, if I was in that situation and my wife said, "Hey, don't tell me yet," I understand. My wife is supposed to be my right hand.
She speaks for you.
Something like you getting ready to pitch on the World Series, you kind of, you know.
Not just that, and it's weird to say this, but let's look at other, you know, or the last notable person I can remember who went out and played the day of or the day after their father passed away. Brett Favre went out and had the best game of his career. So maybe there's something to be said about
it. Well, Brett Favre was Mr. Vanity, so it was all about Brett Favre. He knew he wasn't going to not play.
Yeah.
That's true, too.
But, you know, first of all, you If that happened to me, my dad would want me to go play.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't want me to go sit in the side and be like, okay, let's not play today.
Let me feel sorry about myself.
Yeah, let me feel sorry.
Especially on the biggest stage. Like, nah.
You worked your whole career to be there. He would want you to be there.
You got to play.
But anyway, that's that. Going back to the game, I will tell you, I watched about eighth inning to see what was going on. It's the Warriors and Mets. I'm glad they're both there. I don't have a horse in the race. I'll watch it. And, of course. But it was a great game. I mean, it was 4-3, and then Alex Gordon comes up and hits home run off of Familia, who has not given up any runs in the playoffs.
He does not blow saves.
He's going to say since June 30th?
Since he came closer, yeah, pretty much. But he blew a save. Gordon hit a great pitch out of the park.
Yeah. He hit that thing hard, man.
And then at, you know, in the 14th inning, they went on a sack fly.
Cosmer made up because he had like the networks were saying, Buckner-esque.
Now, how do we feel about that? Last week when we were talking about the show, we were talking about the Royals winning on manufacturing runs.
They did.
But yet they stretched the game on a home run.
But they won it on a sack fly. So,
and their first run was an inside the park run, which hadn't been done since 1929.
Did y'all get to see that?
I saw it. I was like, it was the first pitch, man.
Yeah, Harvey first pitch.
Now, was he just moving or like?
He hit it hard, man, and Cespedes was running back. I think he didn't think Escobar could hit the ball that hard, man, and he misplayed it. It kicked away from him.
Okay.
The field.
Okay. I mean,
Escobar was flying.
I know Royal Stadium is pretty big.
Yeah, it's big enough to do it. I saw it. I listened to it and I was like, wow, really?
When I was reading the feed and I was like, inside the park home run. I'm like, what the hell?
That dude was running. I was like, damn, Escobar.
I mean, Escobar ain't that fast, but apparently he got the burners.
But I think that win last night is more important for Kansas City than it was New York.
Because
Kansas City needs to feel like they can be in the series. I mean, with the pitching staff that New York has, they need to be able to see they can score some runs. And they scored five last night.
They maybe took a little of the momentum, a little swagger away from the Mets because Murphy didn't hit a home run.
But he went
the game tire off their closer.
But he went through. Murphy had three hits last night. He didn't have a stouch of a game, by the way. He still had three hits in his at-bats.
Murphy may not have hit a home run, and yeah, they did get to their closer. But if you're a Mets fan and if you're a Mets player, you look at it and say, okay, the pitcher that we've been worried about the most in Harvey, I think
he only allowed three runs.
Yeah, he went six innings,
only allowed three runs. So that's a win right there in your book automatically. And then you know, okay, hey, they got game one. They still got to come to New York and play three games.
But that bullpen is stretched right now.
That bullpen is stretched because I think Clipper is not that good in the eighth inning.
It is.
He's okay, but I think they can get to him. Barlotto, Colon, they're going to get to Colon sooner or later. It's just, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is you got DeGrom who's going to give you seven.
It's a must win tonight.
They can't go to New York because you
got DeGrom playing tonight. He better pitch a gem. Because if he doesn't, this series could be over in
four. Watch out, though. The Royals love hitting the fastball.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Royals, they like hitting the fastball, but with the World Series has never seen a team where all four starters average a fastball of over 96 miles an hour. We never had that in the playoffs before.
I don't think you've seen a team like this in the World Series in a long time that can manufacture runs the way they can. I mean, because they got speed, unreal speed. I mean, Kane, he went around from first to home on a hit the other day that usually nobody would do. You got the kid that was the pinch runner that steals anything.
Well, you said it last week.
Scored the game winner last night.
You said it last week. The Royals manufacture runs like teams in the National League do.
They play a National League style
team. So, I mean, do we kind of have that feeling like we're watching two National League teams play each other?
Kind of. But I think the key tonight is Cueto. If Cueto gets bombed, this series.
Cueto had such an awful outing last time. Yeah. I feel like he's going to be
Well, he had a great outing last time, but the one before he had a bad outing, or it was a bad outing then a great.
It was a great outing and then it was a great bad outing.
Okay,
because he got balled.
So, but he needs to have a great performance.
Yeah. I actually think the person, other than the Mets starting pitchers that are going to make a difference, is whether or not Cespedes can become healthy and actually play the way the Mets need him to play.
I'm going to say, watch out for tonight, Ronnie Uribe. Uribe shows up in big moments. He just always has his whole career. He was the MVP with the Giants. He hit a game-winning home run with the Dodgers last year in the playoffs. That's a key to watch out for tonight.
And I think if Murphy keeps – because Murphy doesn't need to hit the home run. As long as he's continuing to hit, he's continuing to provide offense for that team, everybody else will continue to rally around
him. The Mets need some extra bats. It can't be all Murphy.
Yeah, you can't keep these close games with the Royals. You have to get up 3-4 runs on them.
And then that ain't even guaranteed with that team.
But you don't want to be going into the eighth inning only up or down by one.
I would rather be down to the Mets bullpen compared to the Royals bullpen. Because that Royals bullpen is locked down unless they put in
Manson.
Manson got
but the way Davis get him. Shut them down.
Yeah,
it's a great series.
I hope we go 7. I really do.
Well, interesting note on that. Did you know yesterday marked the anniversary that both of these teams won their last World Series championship
in
a game 7?
Oh wow!
They both won it on the same day years ago.
Nice. In the 80s.
85-86. Because they won 85-86 is when they won it last year.
Nice.
So yeah, we'll see. Who says we don't know stats?
We just don't give them to y'all because everybody else beat y'all over the head with them.
Moving on to week 7 of the NFL is over. The Panthers beat the Eagles 27-16 on Sunday Night Football. As Cam gives the best flop in football, you will see.
You were telling me about it earlier because I didn't get to see the game. But you were telling me about it. I have to go back and watch it. And I think the NFL should institute the flop fine.
Really?
I'm joking. I'm joking.
Man, if it draws you a personal foul flag.
Did he get a personal
flag? Yes. he was offsides. No, he didn't get a personal foul.
I'm saying if you can flop and get a personal foul flag from flopping, do it every time.
Wow, yeah. He's just laying there.
He was the best play dead I've ever seen.
Nice.
I mean, he's been training with LeBron.
Hey.
You watch enough tape of LeBron, you see him flopping.
Hey.
You see D-Wade flopping, you see Ginobili flopping. You can learn how to flop.
Carolina answered a lot of questions for me this week. And Cam Newton answered a lot of questions. And I've been very judgmental of Carolina. And although I do think things would have been different had they not missed that 50-yard field goal and Carolina wouldn't have had that short field, but...
What are you talking about? Philly?
Philly. They missed that 50-yarder. If he'd have made it, it'd have been 19-21, and Carolina wouldn't have got the ball back at the 40-yard line. And then they had the kickoff that went out of bounds. So they definitely had things go their way in that game, and Carolina should have won that game far more comfortably than they did.
Carolina turned the ball over 3 times. Look,
okay, but hold on. One of those turnovers was a fluke play that it went out – Ginn's hands into the other guy. Okay, that was, but it still goes to the quarterback for throwing the pick.
And another one punches just punched up in the air.
Right, but I'm not. It was a good win, but the Eagles. You can't win with Sam Bradford. I'm sorry.
No, you can't win with Chip Kelly.
No, you can. Sam Bradford. I'm sitting here watching the game in the stadium, and it's all to Zach Ertz or running back. Or Miles Austin somehow gets open. I don't know how.
There's no versatility.
But, he ain't been open since 5 years ago in Dallas. He's open in this game. I don't know how. I'm sitting here thinking, Carolina, all you have to do is cover Austin, or not even Austin, Zach Ertz and the running backs. That's all you got to do. But they kept getting open. And then Matthews takes a 60-yard run to the house.
Yeah, he had a strong cutback. Luke Kuechly misplayed that whole play, man. He jumped in the hole and went the wrong way, man.
It was a good win, but I'm worried about that secondary and that defense. Because when they play a quarterback that can throw the ball against them, I'm going to be worried. Andrew and Rodgers is coming.
Supposed to be a high-powered offense. They held them to 16 points.
Can we finally call it what it is? The most overfraught system in the world. Next to FIFA and NCAA, there's a picture of Chip Kelly in that offense.
I mean, I'm just saying. Let's be honest. Because the system is a high-powered system.
It's not a high-powered system. That's what I'm saying.
The system is.
It's not.
We've seen that.
Let me tell you why it's not. You watch the play calling. Okay? No, listen to me. The reasoning. The same play call over and over and over again. You screen that running back come out of the backfield. You throw it to flats. That's one play. The other one is the handoff up the middle. That's two. The next one is the counter to the outside with the running back. That's three.
Sweet right, sweet
and level. then the tight end cuts to the middle. Wide receivers cut to the middle crossing routes. That's all they do.
But
I don't understand the big deal of what this guy, and they do so many plays. That's the problem.
And that's the reason it's considered a high powered system. Now he doesn't have the right people involved. Now if he would have a developed quarterback, like if he would have maybe if he had like an Andy Dalton, somebody who can move the pocket, the system would work a little better. And if he had an offensive line that wasn't complete trash. Now, all of this is his doing.
But now, hold on. Jason,
he let a bunch of
now,
people go.
Jason Peters got hurt in the game. He didn't come back. All right. That was it. But Sam Bradford came from an offense that ran this at Oklahoma. This is pretty much the same offense.
But the system that Oklahoma ran and the system that Chip Kelly runs, although similar, is very different in the style in which they execute the plays and the speed in which they execute them.
If I'm Chip Kelly and I'm the owner of the Eagles, the first thing I'm doing today, DeMarco Murray won't see the field because he doesn't fit the system. Ryan Matthews, slashing in that he fits the system. Darren Sproles fits the system. DeMarco Murray needs to be back in Dallas because – wait a minute, did McFadden run for 100 yards this week?
He did.
That's a miracle.
And Cowboys still gained again.
Well, that was going to happen anyway. But the point is, the Eagles, I'm sitting there watching the game, man. I'm like, Bradford can't throw out a wet paper bag.
And when he got pressure and he had to step up, he would short arm it to the ground every time.
He folds. He folds like paper.
Here's my thing is I cannot be as critical of the Panthers that I have been and not give them credit when they play okay. The thing is, and I've said it and I'll continue to say it, Newton showed me something against Philly that he hadn't showed years past. He won a game after a big game. He beat Seattle. Years past, he'd have lost that next game.
Well, the whole team would have. You're right.
Okay. But Cam went out, three turnovers, still won the game. He's showing maturity. Now, the rest of the problems are things that the team needs to fix because you're not going to be able to go out against a Green Bay and turn the ball over three times and win. You're just not going to be able to do it.
Now, I will tell you, we talk about the Eagles. I think they're a hot mess right now. They're a freaking hot mess. I don't know what they're going to do. They're still in the division race. I hate Eagles fans, but that's besides the point. But watching them, hot mess. You watch Carolina. They didn't play great. They played good. Tom Jackson actually said it best. They play like old school football the way it's supposed to be played. Because they actually have the highest percentage of running plays of anybody in the NFL. Even more than Philly.
That's the key to the success with the Panthers. You got to run the ball and play good defense.
Now, I will say, Stewart finally had a very good game, I thought, because over 20 carries, 100 yards rushing. But I think one of the play of the game to me was freaking Ted Ginn on the reverse that scored a touchdown. Or was it Philly?
It was Philly.
It was Ginn.
He didn't score, but he got about 60 yards.
That was huge. To me, that was like play of the game, I thought.
And then Mike Tolbert bounced off like four Philly defenders and scored. But
when they threw it to him, I was like, I hate this play. He bounces off and it looks like he steps out and goes in the end zone.
I don't know. I'm gonna give the Panthers a little more credit than what I have, but I still wish because again I've heard it since Sunday. I've heard it all the time at work. Oh, we're the best team in the NFC. Oh, we're going to the Super Bowl. Look, we said it last week. You are not gonna make it to the Super Bowl, much less to the NFC Championship game, if you are barely getting by teams that you should be blowing out. And I'm sorry, you should be blowing out Philly at home.
Carolina doesn't blow out nobody.
No, they don't blow it. They never have. They've never been that team. The problem with this team is you need some more offense than what you're getting. Okay, you're going to have to score different ways. And, you know, one thing I really liked with Shula was that reverse that they did. Because you don't have to do things like that in the playoffs to score. It's just because they don't have that dominant receiver that's going to take the ball and go. And guess what? Cam ain't going to run past all the defenders come to playoff time.
And, I mean, if Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly are combined for 25, 30 tackles, right. I mean, that's going to win a lot of games.
If they're healthy, you know, that's another thing. They need to be healthy. They missed Shaq Thompson this week. You could tell.
They have to start getting things shored up because we kind of touched on it last week, but you still got to play Atlanta twice. You still got to go to New Orleans and play New Orleans in the dome, and you barely beat them the first time when they didn't have Drew Brees.
Here's my problem is this week, people were like, we're going to be 7-0 next week. You're sleeping on the Colts? I know they're bad, but guess what? They could get hot. They can pass 400. I could see – Andrew Luck passing 400 yards if he can get rid of the ball.
You sleep.
That's the thing. They got to get out of hand. I'm surprised they ain't fired the coach yet.
You sleep on the Colts, man.
Don't sleep on the teams.
You'll have some problems.
I feel like they're past sleeping on people. Cam Newton has looked like he's really matured out there. And this team looks like it's a humble team that's hungry. They know we got to keep pounding. Every game is a grind. And we're going to win how we win.
Can we change the slogan?
No!
I hate the keep pounding thing.
You don't like the big drum when they come out and bang the drum?
Why do we got to do keep pounding? Well, no, especially during the game, they put on the scoreboard, keep pounding, keep pounding. So people scream it, and I'm like,
I'm just saying,
it sounds like people are hoarse.
You get that around a few inappropriate people, and now you got a problem. Keep pounding. Okay. You know, whatever you want to do. You know, next thing you know, you got Bob who just got out of, you know, state. Like,
It was a great win, but you need to get ready for Monday because you got a Colts team that's dangerous. And then the next week at home, you got a Packers team that is definitely going
to
be dangerous.
And then they
got
to go to Tennessee, whose defense is pretty solid. They held Atlanta to 10 freaking points. If they would have got any kind of quarterback or running back play, they would have beat Atlanta.
He didn't watch the Miami game.
Whose defense is solid?
I mean –
No, the hell they ain't. Matt Ryan was sleepwalking through the game. Freeman, he forgot how to tie his shoes.
They held Atlanta to 10 points.
If Carolina doesn't beat them by 30, something's wrong. I'm just saying.
Tennessee, it's going to be tough, man.
No, the hell it ain't. No, it ain't. Tennessee's dookie.
Well, anyway.
I love y'all, though.
Some other games, you know, moving on from Carolina, we also had the Seahawks dominate the 49ers. That was sad.
We all
said that was going to be ugly. The Falcons beat the Titans 10-7, like Big Shot just said.
Really, a need to say that again? Maybe.
Well, it's on the show notes.
Maybe
I had
just one
to.
More time.
All right, 10-7. And then, of course, you had not my cousins, your cousin, Kirk Cousins, led the Redskins back from a big deficit, the largest deficit ever.
24 nothing.
And they beat the Bucks 31-30.
The Buccaneers. Ooh.
So, you know.
Way to go, Kirk Cousins. They'll leave you alone until after the bye week when y'all go play the Patriots and y'all get smashed.
Kirk Cousins, they may leave you alone, but I will never leave you alone, brother.
You like that.
You know something? I like that. If I'm a teammate of Kirk Cousins, I'm fired the hell up going into a bye week because you just went out there. And that's one thing everybody has said about Kirk Cousins. He can't lead a team back. He can't win when he needs to. He just proved all of y'all wrong. So you know something? And you talking about right after the game, that's that raw emotion I like to see. You like that? Yeah. Yes.
You like that?
That was great, man. That was just that's what he was saying. That was good, man.
Well, Jay Gruden is out there defending him tooth and nail, so I'm glad he came back.
That's what I like to see. You know, they defending each other now.
Because they're in it together.
Oh, they're in it together now.
I love the emotions he showed, and who in the world would have ever thought that he would have been the NFC Offensive Player of the Week and the best player in the division.
This really? this year is all whacked out for quarterbacks.
We're Andy Dalton. We got Josh McCown.
Then you got Ryan Fitzpatrick, who it looks like an actual quarterback this year, other than the 19 million interceptions he throws.
All we need is Noodlearm to step in that mix.
He won.
I mean, he beat Landry Jones, which
he beat the Steelers at home, which he should.
Hey, he won.
I know. Well, he does. But anyway, the Dolphins also trounced the Texans 44-26.
Man, it's 41 to nothing. Lamar Miller off the waiver wire in our league. I'm so happy I grabbed him up.
Real quick.
And then, well, hold on. They were up 41-0 at half. And the other big news out of this game, Ryan Mallett missed the team flight, had to fly a commercial, and then was released on Tuesday. Sorry, go
ahead. Okay. So Miami's 2-0 after the firing of the coach.
And they're 3-3 right now.
Where do we stand on Miami right now?
We stand that they played the Texans and the Titans. Okay. That's where we stand. Until I see them play the Patriots something.
They played the Texans and the Titans. These are NFL teams. And they've blown these teams out.
They have, absolutely.
Like, are we putting any type of faith in this new coach?
No. The question for me will be Sunday. They play tonight.
They play tomorrow.
No. Oh, yeah.
You got to remember
today's Wednesday. tomorrow they do play. I need to see what they do against the Patriots. They don't have to win, but if I see a close game and they play good, we can pay attention.
Over the past few years, they have gotten New England at least one time a year, so this might be the time. If they beat New England, then you got to put Miami in that radar. Watch out.
They can get
that wild card spot. Because the AFC is wide open.
Now, the other question, speaking of, you know, because you got Miami, looks like they're starting to turn their season around in the AFC. We're in, you know, try not to be too upset. How do we feel about the Saints now? Because now they're on a two-game win streak. They got the Giants coming to the Dome. Then they got the Titans coming to the Dome. We're talking about them possibly going on a 4 or 5-game win streak. You know, being in that mix now. So, how do y'all feel about that?
Well, as far as the Saints go, okay, they beat the Colts. Okay, I don't put a lot of merit into it. It is an NFL team, but they're a hot mess right now.
But they also blew out Atlanta.
They did blow out Atlanta. That was a huge win. I need to see them again this week. You know, who they play this week?
They got the Giants.
Giants. You know, Giants are good. Great. But they're good. That's going to be a team they'll have to
play against. I'm still concerned about New Orleans' defense. Man. Yeah. New Orleans' defense still gets torn to shreds.
Well, I'm still worried about Brees. Like I told you last week, we were talking on the show, there's no consistency in this offense. You got.
Now, are they going to get 150 yards rushing from Mark Ingram every week? I doubt that.
Well, the reason I ask is because these are the two teams who are now on 2-game win streaks and who look like they might want to start to turn the corner this season and turn things around. So, you know, and it was interesting to me because one was in the NFC and one was in the AFC.
I just think it's too early. Yeah. I mean, to buy into them. Will I buy them right now? No. I still wouldn't buy the stock.
Now, would you buy into them along with Atlanta challenging Carolina for the NFC South?
I picked Atlanta to win the NFC South. I still think Atlanta wins it.
Okay, so with what
even the record, I think they still win.
With
the division.
What we've seen right now, would you think that they would start to challenge Carolina for the first place?
No, because they already lost to Carolina.
But they got to play them again.
I know they got to play them again, but I think Carolina's got New Orleans' number. I just do. I think they got their number. I think Atlanta will be the really challenge for them. Because of that offense.
You know
the passing game.
You know where I stand. I picked Carolina. So.
Yeah, and he's got everybody else going 4 wins in the NFC South. By the way, Atlanta's already passed that. But
the rest of them still stink. So I'm still looking pretty good for that.
So there you go. There's your answer.
I don't know.
I mean, New Orleans is 3-4 now, right?
Yeah, they're three and four. And they got, like I said, they got the Giants coming home. They got the Titans coming to New Orleans.
Hey, by the way, if they win one more game, they'll match what he predicted.
Yeah, so.
4 years, they got their 4th win.
So.
In week 7. In week 8.
And then they won't win no more.
But no, we'll see. We'll see.
Because they still got to go play Seattle. They got to play Dallas. They got a few.
Two teams that are in disarray right now.
Yeah.
Seattle speaking of which. You got to look at Seattle real quick. Seattle's losses have come to undefeated teams.
Well, we don't talk about Seattle. Listen, we can't buy stock into what Seattle did against San Francisco. We can't. And people buying stock in, you can't. You playing 49ers, they're horrible.
They are pretty bad.
I'm just saying, I need to see Seattle. I'm not even worried about this weekend. I mean, yeah, whatever. Because I've given up on the season after we talk about what we're going to talk about next. But Seattle's just, I don't know, man. Yeah, we don't know what we got yet after they beat the 49ers.
There's a lot of teams that look like they're going to try to turn the page in the second half of the season.
Right.
There is.
And Seattle was 6-4 last year until they
just
ran off.
Ran the table.
Right. But this is a different team. This is a different team. That offensive line. The core is your offensive
line.
Well,
now here's
should be offensive line.
I know they were playing the 49ers, but Pete Carroll probably said it the best in the post-game conference. That offensive line finally played as a unit. And that defensive line is nothing to get scared about. But you're any team in the NFL, you're in the NFL for a reason. But damn, that offensive line looked like they were a unit.
If they go into Dallas this weekend and blow Dallas out on the offensive and defensive line, then I think you need to be scared.
Because now they're picking up momentum.
They will play a very good offensive line this weekend and a good defensive line with Hardy and the rest of them. Then you can start saying, watch out for Seattle. Right now, they play San Francisco. You can't tell crap playing San Francisco.
Now, you might not be able to say or take much from it, but Marshawn Lynch looked really good. Yeah. He looked like he was ready to play again.
Well, some other, you know, we'll talk about this real fast. Cowboys lose on a kickoff return touchdown during the game. Hardy and Bryant get into it, and Jerry Jones called Hardy a team leader.
What a joke.
For the love of God. He's not a team leader. I think what Jerry was trying to say, and he didn't do it, is because way Hardy is playing on the field, he's a team leader on the field. But I'd be damned you have a team leader off the field. Even on the field, I wouldn't let you be one.
You're a defensive lineman. What the hell do you know about special teams?
Why are you pushing the guy? Why are you pushing the coach? You have no respect.
Why are you smacking the clipboard out of his hand?
I hated this sign-in from day one. I still hate it today, even though he leads the team in sacks with 3 in 2 games.
And then I got it. Dez Bryant may not be a model citizen, but guess what, Hardy? This is Dez's team. You know, and even Romo has to understand that because Romo is getting older. This is Dez Bryant's team. When Dez Bryant tries to calm you down and pull you aside, you shut your mouth and listen.
Exactly.
Because that is now a young kid stepping up and taking control of this team. You don't challenge him because this ain't your team.
What you did on Sunday is an embarrassment. What you did after was an embarrassment. You've been in 3 games, and we've talked about you every single week since you've been back.
Doing something.
You're an embarrassment.
Doing something or saying
something. I mean, 1 week you're talking about Tom Brady, his wife. Dude, just play the damn game of football and stop talking crap.
And you're right. I think that what he did after the game was even worse because, one, you have never been like that towards the media, and now all of a sudden, because people are seeing your true colors, you want to be like, no comment, next question. And you're not even letting the reporters finish their question.
Right. He's doing a freaking Marshawn Lynch, and trust me, you ain't Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, but at least Marshawn's been like this his entire career.
Right, and at least I like Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Greg Hardy, different story.
Nobody likes Greg Hardy.
I just, come on, man. And then my owner, I'm going to say this once, my owner, Jerry Jones, you call this jackass a team leader? What is wrong with you, dude? What is really wrong with you? What is it going to take for you to stop calling this guy a team leader? He killed somebody? Let's call him a team leader. Seriously, man, this is not Charles Haley. And that's the problem. He thinks this is Charles Haley, and it's not.
He going to realize real soon.
So, we're not winning the Super Bowl. We ain't getting out of each other's way to get to the playoffs. So, just, you know, forget it. We'd be lucky to win 5 games.
And he told me he wanted Dominican Sue type money.
The only type.
You know he do.
I can't talk
about that. How much did he pay the co-holder to stay away?
Mm-hmm. Everything he going to make this year.
The only prayer we have is Dez gets back and they comb Hardy now. I mean,
you ain't calming that fool.
Nah, he's an idiot.
Of the crack.
Anyway, moving on. The Pats stay unbeaten as they beat the Jets 30-23, and Tom Brady led his team in rushing the first time in his career.
They threw the ball 55 times. They only ran the ball, what, 10 times?
Nine times. And like I said earlier, they dressed six offensive linemen.
That's crazy.
Six. They dressed 19 offensive players.
Should we be worried about their health issues?
Why? They won. Why should you be worried? Hey, because by the time the playoffs get here, these guys will be healthy.
Oh, that's
I think what you need to worry about is Brandon LaFell trying to catch a pass. Had six drops. Six.
He's dropped passes his whole career.
But last year he had career year. I'm just saying he had six drops.
He wanted to get paid.
Send him back to LSU. Right. But anyway, that is your week in NFL. We'll talk some more about the NFL. Some other news real fast because we've got about 4 minutes left in the show. Vehicle crashed into an Oklahoma State parade before Saturday's college football game. Four people were killed, including a two-year-old boy. The girl was 25 years old, supposedly, and they think she might be under the influence of drugs, but we don't know yet.
Hey, big ups to that Oklahoma State football team for going out there and playing that game after that tragedy. You know, that shows a lot of, you know, your coaches, your players. So, you know, big up to y'all and doing that for your fans and your community. And going out there and playing a hell of a game,
too. Can we start drug testing these people before we let them into cars? Driving through,
making them have it. Where some people have a breath in.
Well,
in
yeah, people. Once you get charged with a DUI, you get this little thing in your car.
She's going to jail for murder. She gonna be in jail for a long time.
I don't even necessarily think it's putting something in your car. It's people as humanity and as a society. Please stop getting behind the wheel of a car if you are intoxicated or impaired. People's lives are way too precious.
I don't know about y'all, but how y'all feel about driving? But it is not getting better in anywhere. I'm talking about even if sober people driving.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I drive a Jeep, and, you know, when I drive it, people will get right on my bumper.
Absolutely.
And then try to go around me. And I'm like, you can't do that in a big – you can't do that with a big car. You can't do – people are getting worse driving, so.
People, you know, just need to realize y'all are not NASCAR drivers.
Don't be in a hurry.
Y'all, exactly. Slow down.
Just slow down.
Even if you got to throw some slow jazz music on in your car, just slow
do
down.
Do it. Slow down. Paul, going to the NBA, we'll talk some more about that tomorrow. Paul Gasol blocks LeBron James with 3 seconds left to help the Bulls beat the Cavs 97-95. The Warriors beat the Pelicans 111-95. Curry scores 40, but 24 in the first quarter on the first night in the NBA. And you said the Pistons won, too.
Pistons beat the bricks off of Atlanta.
Sorry, Hawks.
Bet Man. You wish you had Carol now, don't you?
Stephen Curry. Watch out for Stephen Curry. That guy can shoot the ball.
That guy can shoot.
Well, talking about the Bulls, I will say I think they will be better than people think. I really do, because of the system they're going to run. It seems like if they can get the shots to go in, which McDermott's playing more now, they're playing the younger guys. They said last night on the TV, you know, last year Thibodeau didn't play any of the young guys, kind of like Clifford. But he's actually playing the guys this year. Horford's playing the younger guys.
Well, I mean, we said it. We did say that the East got significantly better, and we said the Bulls were going to be the team to kind of make that step and challenge Cleveland. So, I mean, that was
– we'll see, because they still got to play Milwaukee for the time. Milwaukee's in their division. They still got a few games with Cleveland.
Everybody relax. It's game one.
It's game
one. I mean, if Chicago didn't win with the president sitting courtside in your building, then – it's not meant for him to win the game.
Conspiracy theory. Conspiracy theory. President was in the building. Bulls won. That's all I'm saying.
But, yeah, we'll talk more about NBA tomorrow. Tonight, the Hornets open up in Miami.
Boom.
Hopefully, we'll get a win.
Let's go, Hornets. You know, let's go, Hornets.
I ain't going to be all over Clifford, but let's get the offense going.
He don't be talking bad trash.
P.J. Harrison's starting tonight.
Guess what, Charlotte fans? I dog the Panthers and I'm a dog the Hornets. You know why? Because y'all all booty.
Booty.
Go Ryan Tannehill.
I'm not going to Boo, Clifford. Yeah, I'll wait until third game.
You're going to wait until halftime.
Real fast, some other news, and we'll talk about college football. Someone wants to talk about tomorrow. Week 8's in the book. Clemson beat Miami 58-0. They were up 42-0 at halftime. The next day, the coach, Al Golden, was fired. And then Georgia Tech beats Florida State on a block punt. Duke beat Virginia Tech in four OTs, and Arkansas beat Auburn in four OTs.
I got my dummy of the week from that Georgia Tech game, my dummy of the week.
But we'll talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about Abby Wambach retiring. And last but not least, we'll talk about Flip Saunders a little bit more. He passed away at the age of 60 a couple days ago.
Lost his battle to cancer, but we'll give y'all more information on that.
Talk about it on a few episodes ago.
I am Rocky.
Y'all know me. I'm Easy.
Big shot.